I'm going to talk about carpal tunnel syndrome and other compressive neuropathies of the upper extremity in this podcast. You know, these are really common conditions that you should definitely be aware of. Now, these are conditions that, as I already mentioned, they're compressive neuropathies. So typically these occur due to tightness in the carpal tunnel, for instance. Compression at the cubital tunnel. These are conditions where a nerve is in a confined space, and due to whatever reason, there's increased compression on that nerve, and then it becomes symptomatic and is often treated with decompression in order to relieve those symptoms. And unfortunately, with many compression neuropathies, especially carpal tunnel syndrome, there can be nerve damage that can be permanent from long-term compression. So it's important that you understand these, especially carpal tunnel syndrome, and understand why it is that you see so many of these patients get surgery. So I'll start with carpal tunnel syndrome. It is the most common compressive neuropathy. One of the causes of this are inflamed synovium. Can cause inflammation and compression around this around the carpal tunnel. Again, the carpal tunnel is in the wrist, right? It's in the volar part of the wrist. The carpal tunnel contains the flexor tendons of the fingers and the median nerve. The median nerve kind of sits in the most superficial position in the carpal tunnel, which is nice, you know, when it comes to surgery, because it's very much at risk, but also right there, the surgery can be over with very quickly because you get right down to the median nerve. There are some risk factors. It tends to affect females more than males, obesity, pregnancy, okay, hypothyroidism, rheumatoid arthritis. And to some degree, it may be precipitated by exposure to repetitive motion, but in many cases, it's not clear what exactly causes it. Now, sometimes you may also have trauma to the area. You can get an acute carpal tunnel syndrome if there's something causing pressure, such as trauma or fracture or something like that. Other associated conditions we sometimes see with these are, I already mentioned hypothyroidism, rheumatoid, but diabetes, for instance. So it's probably important that you make sure you review the carpal tunnel anatomy, certainly before you go into any surgical cases, which you may see on your rotation. It's something you should understand both with cross-sectional anatomy as well as sort of your standard anatomic pictures. The important branches are the of the median nerve, that is, are the palmar cutaneous branch of the median nerve and the recurrent motor branch of the median nerve, both of which are potentially at risk for injury when you do a surgery. But let's get back to the symptoms, right? So patients present, they have this like numbness and tingling in their hand. Classically, it would be in the radial 3.5 digits. They often say they have pain at night. They wake up and have to sort of shake their hand to get rid of the pain. Sometimes they feel like they can't use their hand quite as well as they had in the past, maybe a little clumsy with the hand. Physical examination, what you look for is some provocative testing. At first, you can actually start with inspection. A case that's gone for too long may actually exhibit thenar atrophy. That is, you actually have some wasting of the thenar muscles, which are innervated by the median nerve, and those can cause that can actually be an example of some permanent nerve damage. So that's one thing that you want to look for, and hopefully you don't have. The other thing you want to look for are provocative tests, like I mentioned a second ago. So those include, and these by provocative tests I mean tests that actually try to elicit nerve compression. Okay, so these are like the carpal tunnel compression test, or the so-called Durkin compression test, the Phalen's test, the Tenel sign, where you tap on the median nerve. These are things that you should review all of these. And then we do sensory examination as well. Imaging usually is not as helpful, certainly if the patient's had no particular trauma or anything like that. Electrodiagnostic testing is done frequently. That is like EMG and nerve conduction studies, which can help to confirm the diagnosis. And what's often seen are increased latencies or slowing of nerve conduction velocities. And then EMG potentially would look to see if there are pathologic findings in the muscles involved. So treatment, you know, initially is going to be non-operative, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, sometimes like a wrist splint. Steroid injections can sometimes help as well. But as I mentioned before, this is not something you want to let go for too long. Okay, so if they're not responding, you go right to a carpal tunnel release. Or what you do is you do a surgery that relieves the pressure by opening the roof of the carpal tunnel surgically. Okay, and that often can relieve the pressure. So so those are the main things I think you should be aware of for carpal tunnel syndrome. Now, there are also a few other nerve compression syndromes you should be aware of. There are several radial nerve compression syndromes, radial tunnel, Wartenberg's, PIN. There are other median neuropathies such as pronator syndrome and AIN compressive neuropathy. But the other big one I'll talk about in the space of this podcast is going to be cubital tunnel syndrome. So after carpal tunnel syndrome, which is median nerve compression at the carpal tunnel, the next big one is going to be cubital tunnel. So this is a compressive neuropathy of the ulnar nerve, right, and typically occurs at the elbow. Now, the ulnar nerve actually has multiple areas where it can potentially be compressed. They are at the heads of the flexor carpi ulnaris, the arcade of Struthers, between the Osborne's ligament and the MCL. And these are just multiple areas where it can potentially get compressed. So when that occurs, what can happen is the patient can get... So a little bit different than carpal tunnel syndrome. Usually it follows the distribution of the ulnar nerve. So it's going to be pain in the ulnar side of the hand, or those 1.5 fingers on the ulnar side of the hand. And they do often get night symptoms. Now, and what you'll see is, or what you'll have to ask them is, how do they get the symptoms? And oftentimes it happens from elbow flexion. So if you think about or look up the anatomy of the ulnar nerve, it goes behind the elbow, right? Or if you tap on your so-called funny bone, right, the ulnar nerve, it goes posterior to the distal humerus and is therefore under stretch when you have the elbow in a flexed position, right? So at night, if they sleep with the arms flexed, maybe with them arms folded behind their head or something like that, they may elicit more symptoms. Now, this is also a nerve compression syndrome that, if let go, can lead to wasting in the intrinsic muscles in the hand. You can get so-called clawing. This is something you'd look for on examination. You'd look for also decreased sensation in the ulnar 1.5 digits. And then there'd be some, if it's really bad, potentially it could have some motor signs as well. That is, the intrinsic muscles of the hand can be affected. They may have some a so-called froment sign, froment, and I would urge you to look this up. A gene sign, janne. These are some signs you look for. And then you have provocative testing, just like with carpal tunnel syndrome. You look for a Tinel sign or an elbow flexion test. You flex their elbow for about a minute, and then you see if it reproduces symptoms. Okay? So treatment is, again, like carpal tunnel syndrome, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications. We generally don't do injections for these. However, splinting can be done, so you try to put them in an elbow extension brace. You put them in something that keeps them from bending their elbow at night, and you see how that works. Now, if they have continued symptoms, certainly, you know, you can get nerve conduction studies to confirm the diagnosis, like with carpal tunnel syndrome, and then treatment, if non-operative is not working, would be decompression. Okay, same concept. You go in, you decompress the ulnar nerve, make sure all those sites of compression I mentioned earlier are taken care of. And there's different ways you can do it if you perhaps work in our OR, and you see one of these surgeries, you may see an ulnar nerve transposition. So if you think about it, the ulnar nerve sits behind or posterior to the distal humerus. It's tight when you flex the elbow. So transposition, basically you just transpose it from behind the humerus to just in front of the humerus. So every time you bend the elbow, it doesn't get stretched, right? So decompression, transposition, those are some of the things that can be done surgically to help with ulnar nerve symptoms from, you know, cubital tunnel syndrome. All right, so that's carpal tunnel syndrome, cubital tunnel syndrome. I think they're two conditions you should be well aware of, and I hope that helps. Thanks.